You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
At the Field Days Agriculture event over the weekend, ACT announced its policy for primary industries. ACT's plan for agricultural emissions would be introducing a split gas approach, separating methane and carbon dioxide when reporting emissions. I started off the interview asking why ACT would separate carbon dioxide and methane emissions in reporting.
Well, look, climate policy should be based on sound science. We need to acknowledge the fundamental differences between methane from livestock, which is a short-lived gas, and carbon dioxide, which is a long-lived gas. And so what ACT is saying is, look, we don't know enough yet about how much methane farms are actually taking out of the atmosphere, how much carbon dioxide they're taking out of the atmosphere by growing plants, by growing vegetation and crops. And so we need to know more about on-farm sequestration, and we also need to accept that New Zealand farmers are already amongst the most efficient in the world. They already pay for their carbon emissions through the emissions trading scheme for all the fuel that they use, all the energy that they use. And ACT says give farmers a fair go and base climate policies on sound science.
But we know that methane makes up around 71% of New Zealand's agricultural emissions and has more warming power than carbon dioxide, but ACT has said that if New Zealand's trading partners aren't paying a price for their methane emissions, that New Zealand farmers shouldn't. But do you think we could be missing an opportunity for Aotearoa to be a world leader in climate change?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the Paris Climate Accord specifically excluded food production from emissions pricing because it recognised that increasing the cost of food, whether it's to communities in New Zealand or anywhere else in the world, is fundamentally at odds with improving society and making progress when it comes to human civilization. Food's already expensive enough without adding a whole lot of emissions charges to it. That's why it was excluded. Now, if we think about the opportunity for New Zealand, I have heard some comments that large buyers of bulk milk products might say, look, we're not going to buy milk or protein from countries that don't manage their emissions down. And ACT would say, fair enough. If Nestle, for example, says to Fonterra, we're not buying your milk unless you can show us that your farmers achieve a zero carbon or a zero emissions profile by a certain date, of course, that's what customers and suppliers are free to negotiate on. But that doesn't mean the New Zealand government should be putting a price on agricultural emissions. That should be up to the individual businesses that want to negotiate that with this, with their customers. And then we think about what this opportunity is for New Zealand. To lead where? By putting a price on agricultural emissions when no one else is doing it. That would only reduce our ability to compete internationally. And most likely, that farm production would leave New Zealand and just go to another country where they don't price emissions. So it wouldn't help control global greenhouse gas emissions. It would just make New Zealand poorer.
So you've mentioned that it should be up to the market and not the government to regulate, essentially, our emissions. And you've proposed scrapping the Zero Carbon Act. So why are you opposed to having a system in place towards reducing or a target for reducing carbon emissions?
ACT is not opposed to having a target to reduce emissions. In fact, ACT thinks that if New Zealand wants to adopt a target like zero net carbon by 2050, that's probably an appropriate goal. The problem with the Zero Carbon Act, it doesn't just set a target, set a cap on emissions, and then allow New Zealand businesses and consumers to trade freely under a cap. I mean, that's what the emissions trading scheme was supposed to do. What the Zero Carbon Act does is allow the government to intervene and interfere in any sector of the economy based on its ideology around whether they think cows are bad, or in the case of the now deposed or stood down transport minister, that cars are bad and we should reduce private motor vehicle trips by 20% by 2035. None of these additional policies actually help New Zealand meet its emissions targets. And you just take even the clean car discount, which has been taxing people who have to buy vans, large vehicles, utes, and handing that money over to people who are already wealthy enough to afford the $72,000 out of the $80,000 cost for a Tesla. Now, whether you think that's a good use of taxpayer money or not is kind of irrelevant. It doesn't change the fact that New Zealand has a cap on emissions, and any trading or reductions under that cap don't change New Zealand's overall emissions. Zach would say we just need a really simple policy, set a cap on emissions, set the target, government regulate the market, making sure that people aren't ripping each other off in the emissions trading scheme, and stand back and get out of the way.
ACT has also proposed getting rid of the Climate Change Commission. Where would you propose that the government get their climate advice from without the commission?
Well, I think the problem with the Climate Change Commission is that their advice has always been highly politicised and ideological. I mean, the Climate Change Commission refuses to give advice to the government on carbon capture and storage technology. The impression I get from having spoken to commissioners is that they'd rather not encourage people to keep producing or using carbon. And so it just ignores the fact that New Zealand does produce and use carbon, and we will be indefinitely, you know, whether it's the carbon fibre that we use to make rockets that rocket labs send into space with satellites, you know, whether it's the carbon that we use that's produced from coking coal, which is excavated from the west coast of the South Island, some of the most pure carbon-based minerals found anywhere in the world. That goes into all kinds of things, plastics, paints, resins, glues, you know, the plastic surrounding on your cell phone, for example. So we'll always use carbon. And what ACT says is, look, it's much simpler to say, let the market set a price on carbon. At the moment, under the emissions trading scheme, it's currently around $50, $54 a tonne. And businesses that have an obligation to pay that price have a very clear incentive to reduce their emissions. That's pretty much the end of the conversation. And with that sinking lid on carbon emissions out to 2050, we've agreed we'll get to net zero, hands off government. We don't need advice from the climate change. Businesses are already doing the stuff.
Is ACT going to be prioritising farmers over the climate this election?
Well, ACT actually wants to prioritise the well-being of all New Zealanders, but farmers are a group that have had a really unfortunate focus. They've had a target put on them by this current government, by both Labor and the Greens, and they've been blamed for pollution of waterways, pollution of the atmosphere. What's not recognised is that farming production has got more and more efficient over the past few decades. We've actually got far fewer animals on the land, producing a much higher quantity and value of very high quality protein. And at the same time, farmers are just asking for the technologies that are available anywhere else in the world to reduce emissions, like genetically modified ryegrass, for example, that when the animals eat it, they produce a lot less methane. Or, hey, instead of central government, the Ministry for Environment, saying what the water quality should be in a muddy river in Northland, and hey, that's the same number that MFE want to apply to a beautiful, clear, braided river in the South Island, what ACT would say is, why not let the regions determine what their water quality objectives are and manage nutrient discharges and water allocation accordingly? We can do that through market mechanisms. That's what they do in Australia. ACT says there's a whole lot of simple stuff we could do that rewards and acknowledges the place that farmers have in our community, in our economy, without targeting them for a whole lot of heavy-handed regulation.
ACT Party leader David Seymour also made comments comparing Palestine's right to defend itself against Israel with China's treatment of Uyghurs and Russia's invasion of Ukraine. These comments came after pro-Kremlin edits were found in RNZ's coverage of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. I asked Court about these comments and why ACT has taken a stance against Palestine. So Seymour has accused RNZ of propaganda and Palestinian-friendly framing. Why did ACT decide to make this statement?
Well, for a state broadcaster to publish material that includes Russian, Palestinian and Chinese propaganda is appalling. New Zealanders should be able to trust their state broadcaster to be totally and utterly impartial. And if you look at some of the changes made by individual rogue staff at Radio New Zealand, and we're talking about changes to articles written by Reuters journalists who are on the ground in the Middle East, for example, when it comes to reporting on that terrorist organisation, Hamas, Islamic Jihad and Fatah. They've changed it from militant groups at Radio New Zealand head office. Militant groups, Hamas, Islamic Jihad and Fatah, to resistance groups. Now, these organisations are regularly firing rockets into Israel. They're kidnapping civilians. They're executing people in cold blood. There hasn't been an election in the Palestinian territories for well over a decade. These are dictatorships and terrorist dictatorships. And for Radio New Zealand journalists to be essentially whitewashing that by adding their own political interpretation of Reuters journalists on the ground reports is completely unacceptable.
Israel's occupation of the West Bank has been condemned by human rights organisations and it goes against international law. Does ACT recognise that Israel's actions are illegal?
ACT certainly recognises that Israel has a right to exist and that there has been a two-state solution on the table for many, many years. The problem is, how do you negotiate with people who actually, and when you're thinking about those organisations that govern Gaza, for example, Hamas, or the Palestinian Authority that governs the West Bank, how do you negotiate with people a two-state solution when those organisations are facilitating and even paying people, family members, who are committing terrorist acts? So, you know, what ACT says is that everybody has the right to live in dignity, the right to freedom, to choose to elect their own government, and ACT would definitely want to support that aspiration for the Palestinian people. But what we don't support is Radio New Zealand journalists adding their own political flavour and essentially making stuff up, when we should be able to trust Radio New Zealand as the state broadcaster, that the information they're sending us, particularly when they're telling us it comes from a Reuters journalist on the ground, is actually what that Reuters journalist wrote. And that's the point that David Seymour was making.
Why has ACT chosen to compare Palestine with China and Russia, who have both, in their cases, been aggressors against minority groups in smaller countries? Do you really believe that they're the same?
We're not trying to establish moral equivalence here. I mean, we're talking about Radio New Zealand reporting on organisations that have committed atrocities against civilians. I mean, we know that China is carrying out some kind of genocide or cultural genocide against the Uyghur Muslim people in Xinjiang. I mean, we do know that Russia has invaded Ukraine and is doing terrible things to civilians, including taking them away and putting them in camps in Russia. And what we also know is that there are organisations that are running the Palestinian territories. We're talking about the terrorist organisation, you know, globally sanctioned terrorist organisation Hamas, which has regularly tried to kidnap Israeli civilians and soldiers hold them in terrible conditions and torture them. And there is no moral equivalence between what those organisations and countries do and a country like Israel, which has a democratic government. Now, you know, just like in New Zealand, we elect a government every 3 years. Not everybody likes it, but, you know, every on a regular basis, you have a chance to vote them out. And, you know, I think we need to respect the wishes of the Israeli people when it comes to the government that they choose, even though we might not like all the political parties or we might not like their policies. They're democratically elected. And I think any moral equivalence between a democratically elected country and organisations that essentially are practising terrorism or genocide against populations is just silly.
Does ACT recognise that Seymour's comments have upset the Palestinian community here in Aotearoa?
Well, I don't think it's helpful to generalise a group of people in that way. I mean, I'm sure that there are widely differing views amongst people in the Palestinian community about the behaviour of their governing organisations like Hamas and Fatah and the Palestinian occupied territories. But, you know, what we're really trying to point out here is that New Zealanders have a right to expect truthful reporting from our state broadcaster that is totally and utterly impartial. And so, you know, whether something that David Seymour has said upsets a group of people in New Zealand who have political views, I mean, that's one of the things that ACT regularly does. We say things that are difficult for people. We take on the difficult subjects and we don't resolve from that.
That was ACT MP Simon Court discussing their views on farming and agriculture emissions, as well as Palestine.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.